Chapter 6, Karma and Rebirth. When the Buddha spoke of various universal phenomena and eternal principles, he was teaching what he himself had learned through observation and direct experience. He taught that everything is impermanent. He taught the existence of suffering, how it is caused, and how to end it. The way to end all that is unsatisfactory and painful in our lives is to follow the path of discipline, concentration, and wisdom. Practicing with diligence on this path, one can attain liberation from distress and unhappiness. The Buddha also spoke of the law of causality. We reap what we sow. Good results in good, and bad incurs bad. We have created our lives, and are thus responsible for them. Since we are the ones who created our lives, we alone can change them. Understanding that unhappiness is caused by craving and expectations, we can begin to change our lives by eliminating these negative emotional habits. If we have no expectations of someone or of certain circumstances, we will not be subject to disappointment and will not react with anger or annoyance. And if we are not immersed in frustration and resentment, we can remain calm. The law of causality is not a man-made law or a judgment by an external force that impinges upon our lives. Causality is a natural law, as natural as a ball bouncing back to me after I had thrown it against a wall. Since causality is a natural law, there is no judge, jury, or ruling body that determines our consequences. Our past thoughts, speech, and actions determine our lives today. And just as our lives today are the result of our past, what we say, think, and do today will shape our future. The Buddha explained that phenomena are created by the heart. If we speak or act with an impure heart, then suffering will follow us as surely as a cart follows the oxen that pull it. If we speak or act with a serene heart, then happiness will follow us, just like our shadow does. For me, personally, the karmic explanation of why things happen has always made sense. It was what first drew me to Buddhism. It may not yet provide the answers you seek, but for me it did. Why do some people have such difficult lives, while others seem to have everything they could ever want? Why is there so much unhappiness in the world? Do things happen randomly, or is there a pattern to existence? From a Buddhist perspective, the law of causality explains that things happen to us because of what we have done in the past. We are responsible for ourselves. Hence, we cannot blame another for the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Understanding this, we will gradually learn to stop blaming others, our environment, even our parents, for what happens to us. The inequalities in life are due to our own past thoughts, speech, and actions. These result in the family that we are born into, the person we marry, the children we have, and even the environment in which we live. Karma is an action, or a combination of actions, performed by us, and which invariably produces results. These results may be good, bad, or pure. Good karma leads to favorable results and rebirth in the higher realms of samsara. Bad karma leads to bad results and rebirth in the lower realms of samsara. Pure karma leads to enlightenment and enables one to transcend samsara. Karmic actions can be created by an individual or jointly by a group. The consequent results can be good or bad and help to determine the future of the individual or individuals who created them. While the cause will always produce a result, when that result will occur cannot be predicted. If the right conditions do not manifest for a while, the result will lie dormant for as long as it takes those conditions to mature. Regardless of the time frame involved, the causal link is clear. Thoughts of greed, animosity, closed-mindedness, and of pleasing ourselves at the expense of others will result in adverse consequences. Thoughts of selflessness, consideration for others, and understanding will lead to good results. Our goal is to eliminate the selfish negative actions and to increase the positive ones. At every instant in our lives, we can decide what we will think, say, or do in the next moment. But unfortunately, most of the time, we do not consciously make such decisions, either because we remain unaware that we can, or are not used to doing so, or, all too often, we are simply too lazy. Our every action is preceded by a thought, but we are so preoccupied with ourselves and so distracted by the ceaseless bombardment of our thoughts that it would seem we act without thinking. Too late, we realize that once again, we have acted automatically out of negative habits and consequently planted another harmful seed. Everything we do plants a seed in our most subtle consciousness. All the seeds lie dormant, waiting for the proper conditions to mature. If we, as gardeners, plant a seed in rich soil where it will receive lots of sunlight, water it properly, and take care of it, that seed will grow. If we place the seed in a bag and store it in a cellar, nothing will happen. Likewise, all of the seeds in our consciousness are waiting for the right conditions, karmic versions of the soil, sunlight, and water, to mature. When the seed matures, the cause will bring forth a result, but it does not end there. Cause and effect is a continuous cycle. A cause triggers a result. That result then becomes a new cause, which will trigger another result, and on it goes. This chain not only affects us, but others as well. We do something, and it affects someone around us. In their response to our action, they affect someone else. This creates a wave-like response of cause and effect that moves outwards in an ever-widening circle. Just like what results when a single drop of water splashes in the ocean. The ripple effect results in all the other drops of water in the ocean moving. Each of us has planted a combination of good seeds and bad seeds. Thus, within each of us lies the seeds for both loving kindness and treachery, for both goodness and unwholesomeness, and for both tolerance and animosity. Which ones mature today will depend on our individual conditions. It would be helpful to remember, when we are tempted to criticize another for her disloyalty, it could just as easily have been us in her place. We have all planted the seeds for deception and aggression. If we had encountered similar conditions, we probably would have acted just like those we were about to criticize. So while we do not condone or dismiss their behavior, we must realize the need to have wisdom, to practice compassion, and to keep everything in proper perspective. This can also help us to value our good karma, that which makes us intelligent, skillful, and wholesome, and to not deplete it. If we keep enjoying the wholesomeness we created without accumulating any more, we will eventually use it all up. Since goodness brings goodness, it becomes even more logical to practice what we learned of discipline, concentration, and wisdom. This responsibility of taking the initiative to sow good seeds for ourselves does not apply only to Buddhists. The law of causality is a natural law, like that of gravity. Some may say that they do not believe in gravity, but if a person who believes in gravity and a person who does not believe in it both jump off a diving board, do not expect that only one will fall, while the other happily floats around in the air. The natural law of gravity takes over, and it applies to all. They will both splash into the water. And just like the law of gravity, we are all subject to the law of causality. This should not be depressing, but liberating, for it means we are not hopelessly stuck with our karma. We can choose to nurture one group of seeds over another. Sometimes we can see causality functioning around us. In the example of jumping off that diving board, the cause is the jumping, and the result is falling into the water. At other times, the link between a cause and its result is not as apparent. This brings us to another important concept which the Buddha spoke of. Rebirth. This should not be confused with reincarnation. Rebirth is the causal link from one lifetime to the next, as the most subtle level of consciousness passes from one life to the next, like a river flowing from one place to another. On the other hand, reincarnation is generally defined as the movement of the soul from one life to the next. Reincarnation is not solely an Eastern concept. Pythagoras remembered his previous birth. Plato remembered a number of his former lives. Other Western philosophers, such as Immanuel Kant, have spoken of reincarnation. It has been reported that in the United States, 30 million people believe in reincarnation, and a little over one half of its populace think it is a distinct possibility. The Buddha experienced the reality of causality and rebirth on his night of awakening. He not only saw his own lives, but the lives of countless others as well. He later explained that on our long journey of life, as we wander aimlessly from birth to birth, there have been more tears shed for us than there is water in the oceans. You may not believe in causality and rebirth, but regardless, like gravity, they will still be there and can provide answers as to why good people may undergo endless difficulties, while others who are selfish and uncaring enjoy great wealth and power. Causality and rebirth can also explain the existence of geniuses, for example, Mozart and Rembrandt, or why one child is loving and filial, while his sibling is deceitful and ungrateful. Mozart and Rembrandt may have been creative geniuses who had strong passions for their art, and who found themselves again being pulled by that karma into a later lifetime where that talent resurfaced. And siblings are more a product of their own individual past karma than of their current environment. Those who are undergoing difficulties, despite their current goodness, had created the causes for those difficulties in their past lives, and on rare occasions, earlier on in this lifetime. Now the conditions for that person to undergo difficult consequences have matured. They are reaping what they sowed in the past. Those who selfishly enjoy great wealth without practicing generosity in this current lifetime are coasting along on their positive karma that they had created in the past. But their current self-centered behavior will cause them to quickly run through that karma, like a person who keeps writing checks without depositing more money into the bank. At some point, because there are not additional causes that create wealth and good fortune, their current store of positive karma will be depleted, and suddenly they will begin to experience many problems. We do not need to know what the exact circumstances are or what the precise cause and effect is. It is the proper understanding of the general concept of the law of causality that can help us to become better people. And this is what we need to focus on. Upon seeing those who are experiencing difficulties, we are wrong to simply dismiss them by thinking that their current adversities are the result of their own past actions, and thus the hardships are essentially their own fault. With right understanding, we will do the opposite. We will feel compassion for them and have the wisdom to know how to better help them. What they did in another lifetime, or even earlier in this lifetime, has long passed from their conscious mind, or has just been forgotten, just as our former actions have likewise long been forgotten by us. This should hardly be surprising, considering how little we remember of what we did only yesterday. Here and now, in this lifetime, people are undergoing great difficulties and feel that they are helpless victims, pulled this way and that by circumstances they seem unable to change or control. We cannot say that this is their karma and use this as an excuse to do nothing. For us to blame and dismiss them is to act out of ignorance and arrogance. Instead, knowing about the existence of suffering and causality, we can choose to be non-judgmental and use compassion as we try to understand and help them. We can think about what they are undergoing and remind ourselves that if we do not wish to find ourselves in similar circumstances, we need to practice generosity, loving kindness, and compassion.